the words of Jesus this morning from Matthew 11. I don't have this on the slide. Just hear this morning. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And rest for your gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of Christ to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come into this place, into your perfect and holy presence, in the name of Jesus, weary and heavy laden this morning. Burdens too heavy for us, Father. We come in grief. We come in weariness of the world. We come in a world that's afflicted and daily exposes its affliction and its brokenness. And we come as broken human beings. Come struggling with sin. We come in many ways with guilty consciences. We come with fear and anxiety over the future. Come with all sorts of struggles. We come with loved ones hurting and sick. And Lord, we come and we bring these burdens to you because where else can we bring them? We don't find relief from our burdens in the world. We don't find relief from our burdens in ourselves. Certainly not. We find the beautiful promise of rest in Christ, who laid himself down for us. This beautiful Savior, whom we've sung of this morning, who shed his blood. He loved us and he gave himself for us to purify for himself a people. And that's us, Father. So today we come to meet with you. We come to listen to you. We come to humble ourselves. And we come to give you our burdens. Please accept them by your grace. Please bear them. Raise us up in Christ, the mighty burden bearer. Come minister to your precious people whom you love more than we can even fathom this morning. And to the weary of heart, may these words we hear from your scriptures, your spirit-breathed word, give just the right remedy for the moment. We pray this in his name. Amen. Do more than be seated and turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to Matthew chapter 11, which I've just read, Matthew 11. We're taking a break from Colossians this morning, brothers and sisters. We've been in this study for months now. Although this Bible, this whole thing is God's Spirit-inspired word, I believe this morning we especially need to hear Jesus' heart from his own lips today. We need to hear him gently express his own heart to us. And he's doing that here in the passage I just read in Matthew chapter 11. And I would guess that there are very few here this morning without a burden or without a grief or a struggle of some sort. And if you're one of those who has a happier heart, perhaps you are carrying the burdens of others around you. You may not even be aware of that today. And I think in this moment, we are all in desperate need of rest. I am. And beloved, this is exactly what Jesus offers us in himself to you and to me this morning in his word. Jesus promises rest to weary souls. I'm praying and wanting you to hear him speak to you today. To those who come to him in faith. And in these sweet verses, we find Jesus' promise of rest and his process of rest versus pleading with you to receive his rest. I'm going to read this again, verses 28 through 30. If you have Matthew 11, follow along with me. Or maybe just close your eyes and listen to Christ speaking. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This morning, as we examine what he's saying here, this precious, amazing promise, I want to encourage you, exhort you, if you don't have a practice of locking God's promises into your mind and feeding your mind and heart with them, I pray you would do that this week. Just begin to scour God's word for some precious promise that he's spoken to you. To look at Jesus' promise to you this morning. He's making a promise, and it comes with an invitation in verse 28. Listen to it again. Just refresh your mind and your ears with this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hear this from Jesus. He is welcoming you, brothers and sisters, to himself. He's calling you to come. This isn't just people 2,000 years ago, is it? He's inviting you this morning. If you're a Christian, if you're a non-Christian, if you're a saint, if you're a sinner, come to me. In fact, this is actually God's consistent call through the Bible to weary and sinful and struggling and hurting people like us. God doesn't waver. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He says in Isaiah 55, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why would you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Now, brothers and sisters, when you start to understand who this is who is welcoming you, this is almost too good to be true. It's amazing. This is the holy, righteous, exalted, all-powerful judge and creator of the universe. And the Bible says he can't dwell together with sin. But Jesus' message to struggling sinners is not go away from me. That's not what Jesus is like. His message is come to me. That's exactly why he came. He came, Luke says, to seek and to save the lost, which is exactly where we find ourselves on our own, isn't it? Lost, straying sheep. And this is God's heart all through the Bible. The God who exists and has revealed himself in the person of Jesus of Nazareth wants you today. He wants you to come to him. In Matthew 14, just trying to get across, you remember this story, don't you? And he gets to them in the storm, and what does he say to him? He says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And then Peter, precious Peter, whom I just resonate with so much, he's bold enough to say, he wants to get out of the boat and come to Jesus. And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, who do you think you are, Peter, to come to me? No, he says, come. He lays out that invitation. In Matthew 19, Jesus meets this rich man weighed down with the burden of greed and possessions. And this is what he says. He says, go. He said, the Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then he said, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give your money to the poor and then come, you'll have treasure in heaven. You'll have treasure in heaven. But he doesn't just send this man out on an impossible task to prove himself. He follows it right up with, then come and follow me. You see his heart there? Jesus' goal for this man is not to replace one burden with another. His goal is to replace a He wants us to come to him. Luke says the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. I love this. They grumbled against Jesus and said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now, does Jesus ever deny that charge? He never says that. He never says, "No, I don't do that. I don't eat with sinners." He follows their accusation right up with three parables telling about God's gracious welcome to lost and struggling sinners. In Jesus, God says to us, "Come to me." Listen to this beautiful promise from Jesus. "All that the Father gives to me," John 6, "all the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." I've banked on that promise over and over again, friends. And Hebrews says, "We have a high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive ministers." Are you in a time of grace to help in our time of need? Brothers and sisters, are you in a time of need right now? Then Jesus' call to you as your high priest is, "Come to me, draw near." At the end of the Bible, almost at the very end, to one of the most messed up churches ever, Laodicea, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me," Revelation 3. You hear the invitation. Jesus is openly welcoming you with his arms this morning. And you may hear those words, you may think, fine, Jesus is calling. But he means those people. He doesn't mean me. He doesn't have my burden in mind. So who is Jesus speaking to here in Matthew 11? Notice, it's all who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus doesn't just mention one kind of burden here, does he? He doesn't rule out any burdens. If you're carrying a burden this morning, it qualifies. Matthew's context here, he's talking about this sort of self-satisfied, man-centered religion that the Pharisees had constructed. That's definitely a burden, isn't it? But Jesus doesn't narrow it down to that. He says all. Your burden, friends, this morning qualifies for Jesus' invitation. I don't care what it is. That includes, just to mention a few, non-Christians here this morning bearing the burden of guilt. Christians exhausted by grief. Prodigals fatigued by long wandering. People crushed by life's problems. People at the end of their wisdom. Right here. Sinners beset by temptations. Saints saddled with the devil's accusations. Their false religiosity. Christians straining to hang on to faith right now. Brothers and sisters drained dry by conflict. Traumatized hearts with dark memories in their past. Tortured consciences with something to hide. The ostracized, the unwelcomed, the proud and pretentious. The weeping, worried parent. The wounded, bullied child. Those discouraged and wearied of life. And those fearful and facing death. Every single one qualifies to Jesus' call to come to him this morning, and following it right up with the beautiful promise. If you're struggling under a burden this morning, any burden, hear Jesus' sweet promise to you and to me. You bring it to me, and I will give you rest. We need this from Jesus, friends. We need rest. We live in a painful world, struggling with sinful flesh, and that's exhausting. I don't know if you feel that. I do. We need spiritual help to recover that. I took a trip when I was 18 to Knoxville, Tennessee with a few of my classmates. We were on a gifted trip, if you can even believe that I was considered gifted at one point. We were on this trip, and little did I know before we left for the trip that I had contracted mono. And so I spent the whole week, it was a mild case, I spent the whole week in misery, just fatigued. And I don't care how much I tried to rest, no matter how much I slept, laid around, I could not get over my exhaustion. It's the same thing when I contracted COVID. Just day after day, week after week of just laying there, dragging myself out of bed. And I've felt this many times in my spirit as well, as I'm sure many of you have. It's one of the things we feel, for example, when we've lost someone close to us, isn't it? You go to bed fatigued, you wake up fatigued, and it just doesn't go away. Think of seasons, long seasons, when my conscience was burdened by something. And I feel what David wrote when he said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." And to the weary this morning, brothers and sisters, Jesus promises our heart's desire, "I will give you rest." And what does he mean by that? Does he mean what so many take him to mean? I've heard this many, many times. God won't give you more than you can handle. You know by experience that's not true, and it's not what the scriptures say, is it? The rest Jesus is offering does not mean he's promising to take away every burden, although sometimes he does. Condemnation, guilt, it's gone in Christ, isn't it? Condemnation, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Separation from God, it's banished as far as the east is from the west. The relentless, pounding curse of his righteous law on us, it's no more. But there are burdens that don't disappear, aren't there? You know this. That's not the promise here. The Bible tells us God often has a plan for our burden, and it's actually there for our good, inscrutably. But Jesus knows that can be backbreaking, and we can't carry it on our own. What Jesus is promising here, beloved, is that in the presence of those burdens, he will give you rest, refreshment, help, comfort, peace, care. Maybe your burden is hanging on a long time, hasn't gone away. But whenever we come to him, now he's the one that's carrying it, not us. And he's willing over and over again. Psalm 55 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you." Another promise, right? He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 68, Jesus loved the Psalms, by the way. Psalm 68, 19, "Blessed be the Lord. Day after day, he bears our burdens. God is our salvation." Every day the burdens come, don't they? And every day the Lord is willing to bear us, friends, to receiving the rest we need from Jesus. Listen to how Jesus explains it here. We come to him, he takes our burdens, and we take his rest, but we have to be willing to submit to the process. In verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." What is a yoke? Todd Petit's life group will have heard this explanation, though not from me. A yoke is a device for a beast of burden, isn't it? So you have this beast, a donkey or an ox, and it needs to be directed into the right path. And there is a security, I'm told, for a domestic animal in knowing the direction it's supposed to go and following under that hand, the directing hand of its master. Comes almost to instinctively know that this is a good path, that it's being led well. And so I don't know anything about animal husbandry this morning, but many of you do, like Craig Crook shared this. Craig told us last week in our life group that he's seen this over and over again with a yoke. A seasoned ox will know its place. You have this ox that it's been trained, knows what it's supposed to do by instinct. And it might even be very familiar with the path that it's treading. But there's this young, untrained steer. It doesn't know. It will chafe, it'll buck, it'll stray all over the place until it completely exhausts itself. And so what a wise farmer apparently will do is we'll yoke this younger animal to an older ox. And as they go along, the younger ox will do what it does. It tries to wander relentlessly all over the place. But the older ox will just steadily plod along the right path. And as it does so, because they're yoked together, the older ox will turn the untrained one back onto the path until it learns what it's supposed to be doing. And so it is with us, friends. Isaiah 30 says, "In returning and in rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." Beloved, this is what Jesus does for us. When he says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's saying, "Follow me. Tether yourself to me. Fall in step with me. I will show you the path instead of ways that exhaust you." That's what coming to Jesus for rest looks like. It looks like bowing our heads to his gracious yoke. Now, that practice had been understood for thousands of years already by Jesus' time. And the ancient Jews knew this. A yoke in his time came to symbolize the call of a rabbi to come and be his learner, his disciple. So Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. When Jesus' disciples submit to his yoke and follow him, they find rest. We especially find rest in Jesus' teachings, don't we? The Bible says this, I love this guard who spoke better than he knew. He said he was sent to arrest Jesus, and he came back, and the temple priest said, why didn't you bring him in? He said, no one ever spoke like this man speaks. Jesus says, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And so the crowds start to trickle away from Jesus. And what does Peter say? Once again, he pipes up. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And what's Jesus' basic word to us this morning? Eternal life with his blood to bring us to God and to daily show us how to live a life that flourishes in him. We learn from his word and it gives us rest. Now, friends, that wasn't true of the Pharisees, was it? Their words didn't relieve burdens, they created them. They tie up heavy burdens, Jesus says. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they're unwilling to move them so much as a finger. I don't want to be that way. I want to be like Jesus. But you can trust Jesus' words. You can trust his teaching, his training, his discipleship, his leadership. Bring your burdens to Jesus, say in his scriptures. Take his yoke and learn from him. Spend time learning what he has to say in his scriptures. Submit to his discipling process. He is restful. He's a life-giving master. And he cares for you, friends. He cares for you. He wants what's best for you. In fact, Jesus wants you to flourish even more than you want that. Listen finally to Jesus' plea toward you in verses 29 through 30. He doesn't just command us to come to him. He persuades here. He appeals. He gives reasons to follow him. And these reasons are compelling. In verse 29, he says, I am gentle and lowly of heart. Just take a moment once again to hear Jesus' reassuring words to you this morning. He's safe for you to come to. You don't have to be afraid to approach Jesus for the first time or for the millionth time. He's not harsh. He's not reproachful. He doesn't scold you when you fail. He's gentle. One pastor has pointed out that this is the only place in all the Gospels where Jesus himself tells us about his own heart. That's amazing. If we want to know what Jesus really feels toward us, he says it right here. He says, I am gentle and lowly of heart. Nobody else is like that perfectly. Jesus isn't pretending when he says that. This is who he is in his heart. And when you see it, when you spend time getting to know him, you find that in the Gospels. You see Jesus welcoming stumbling, failing disciples. He's this perfect balance of absolute power and approachability. We aren't that, are we? We mere human leaders, we pastors, we parents and teachers, we stumble back and forth between bluster and passivity in our leadership. Sometimes we're like James and John. You remember them calling out, trying to call down fire from heaven on the Samaritans after one bad encounter? Other times, standing up for them. But you can approach Jesus. His heart is gentle and lowly. Once again, my favorite disciple, Simon Peter, found this out. He met Jesus for the first time. What did he do? He fell at his feet. He said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. What did Jesus say? Don't be afraid, Simon. Don't be afraid. A gentle, lowly heart. That's what a sick woman found when she met Jesus. Sick woman who had been struggling for 12 years with this chronic medical condition. She was so mortified to approach Jesus, she couldn't even come to him face to face to ask for a healing. She had to sneak up behind him to kind of touch his robe and hope that a healing would just rub off, right? Who did she find him to be? A good physician. He tenderly called her daughter and healed her and sent her away with a blessing of peace. That's Jesus, gentle and lowly. My family sings a song about this in our house. It's called Jesus Strong and Kind. It says, Jesus said that if I fear, I should come to him. No one else can be my shield. I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind. Friends, you can always run to Jesus. He is gentle and he is lowly of heart. But he's not done pleading with you. He says you'll find rest for your souls. Here's another reason. He's pleading. He's appealing. If you come to me, you'll find rest for your souls. This kind of rest is our deepest need, brothers and sisters. Proverbs 18 says, a person's spirit can endure sickness, but who can survive a broken spirit? Our bodies can put up with fatigue, a bit of fatigue, can't they? We can keep going after a lot of stress. But soul exhaustion is a critical condition. It's a true emergency. We need soul rest in Christ every day. And that's what Jesus promises us here. So it's bad enough to be parched and thirsty with physical thirst like the Samaritan woman in John 4. That's a problem that's easily solved, right? Just get some water. But this woman's heart had been ravaged by 5 failed marriages. Her soul was exhausted, right? But Jesus said, no, your deepest thirst can only be quenched in me. She believed him. If your spirit is thirsty, if your soul is restless this morning, like hers was, Jesus is pleading with you today to come to him and find rest for your souls. And still, he reaches out further to your weary hearts this morning. If you come, friend, you won't find him draining. You won't find Jesus fatiguing. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Other yokes out there are hard. I've never had to wear a yoke. The Bible mentions several yokes that are hard. Paul tells the Galatians that religious ritual won't relieve your burden. And to stand firm in grace and not submit to a legalistic yoke. Don't do that, Paul says in Galatians 5. He tells the Corinthians not to yoke themselves to non-Christians because that won't lighten your burden either. Those yokes are oppressive. Jesus' yoke is easy. It will ease your burden. It's not that Jesus puts no burden on us. His burden is light. It's freeing. It's comforting rather than crushing. John says his commands are not burdensome. Jesus gave John a message to a wayward church in Thyatira in Revelation. Revelation 2. This church was tolerating a false prophet, false prophetess, who was leading them into error. They were stumbling into sexual immorality because of this woman in the church. And what he said to them was, he didn't want to lay a burden on them other than to stop going astray from me. He said what he said in order not to wear them out, he told on these people. Right? Hold fast to me. It's again this beautiful call, come to me. And then he says to the rest who are still going with him, I lay no other burden on you, only hold fast what you have until I come. The only burden Jesus gives us is that which will keep us locked in to his nourishing life. Brothers and sisters, I'll take that burden over the kind of burdens that I heap on myself, these sinful legalistic burdens. I'll trade that for Jesus' burden any day. And I hear this song once again coming back to me from my childhood. It says this, it says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting, he's watching for you and me. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Beloved, have you heard the voice of Jesus calling you this morning? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe for you that burden is overwhelming sadness today. I don't doubt that. Maybe it's a feeling of hopelessness. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's some sin struggle that you just can't seem to get victory over. My appeal to you this morning is Jesus' appeal. There is relief for your burden, whatever it is. Choose to believe that. Choose to believe Jesus, who carried your sin to the cross, will keep carrying your burden today. He's willing, he's able. He's proven himself to us, and he'll give you rest. Come to him. Maybe there are those of you here this morning for whom the closer to the mark is the burden of a guilty conscience that's weighing you down, and you've never brought it to Jesus. You've never been able to find rest from it. You've never yet found Jesus to be a burden bearer for your sin. Maybe you've never known what it feels like to have rest for your soul. And maybe you resonate with what King David wrote here when he said, "My guilty deeds have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They weigh too much for me." Beloved, if that's you, himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin. Choose to believe this morning that your burden was borne on the cross of Jesus, that he took it. He took your punishment there so that you could be free of it. And now what he calls you to is to come to him and submit to his yoke. Trust his promise that in him your soul will finally find its rest. Now, if that's news to you this morning, I want to give you the opportunity as we close in this last song to come to Jesus. I'll be waiting at the back. I would love to meet with you, to pray with you. Maybe you have a burden this morning that has just been chronic in your Christian life. Maybe it's brand new. Whatever the case is, I want you to come to Jesus this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we know you're here. You've made a promise to us to be with us to the end of the age. And you've shown yourself to be a king who keeps his promises. We can trust every promise that you've made because you fulfill them. And you back it up with and gave your. You are he, Lord Jesus, whom the Bible says loved us and gave yourself for us. So bear our burdens today, Jesus. We pray that you would give us the impulse to come to you, not to go away from you. Lord, our hope isn't in man. Our hope isn't in better circumstances. Our hope isn't in a perfect world. The world is fractured. It's fighting. It's hopeless. It has no direction. We don't look out there. We don't even look inward into ourselves. We look up to you, Lord Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father and right now is interceding for us. Welcome us again, Jesus. We come to you this morning. We bank on your promise that whoever comes to you, you will never cast off. We thank you for being such a wonderful and welcoming. Amen.